found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. While the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. We'll stop there. This is a true story that we've just read, told in a very straightforward manner. And we can find ourselves casually talking about this story, about baby Jesus. We set up little manger scenes all over the place, and they become as commonplace as the plastic Santa in our front yard, or what have you. God, the one who has always existed, the all-knowing, the all-powerful creator, the God who flung the planets into space and the one who keeps them whirling around and around, the God who made the universe with just one word, the one who could do anything at all, was making himself small and coming down as a baby. Jesus was 100% God, but now he's become 100% man at the same time. This is truly the greatest of all mysteries. What we see here in this text is a surprise announcement to a bunch of nobodies. This surprise announcement comes to a group of shepherds. Who did the angels appear to the night that Jesus was born? A group of shepherds watching, taking turns sleeping or guarding their sheep outside of Bethlehem. In those days, people used to laugh at shepherds. They used to say they were smelly or call them rude names. People thought shepherds were nobodies, just scruffy old riffraff. But God must have thought very different. He must have thought they were very important. Here we have a snapshot. We have a preview of Jesus' ministry, how he would reach the poor, how he would reach the nobodies of society. He would reach the despised, the broken, the sick, the lame, the shepherds. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been surprised by a family member's arrival that you didn't know about? You hear the doorbell ring or the knock. It's like, what? You're just so surprised. They're here. They're standing right in front of you. Maybe someone you hadn't seen in a long time. Or what about somebody announcing something? Just awesome. You know, they just got accepted into a college, or they just found out they're pregnant. You celebrate with them. You're surprised. I remember the first time we found out that we were going to have Jude, and we called my grandparents up because they had been praying and praying that we would have a baby. And I got to announce that to them over the phone, and they were just elated, just celebrating. I could hear them yelling to one another on the other line. Well, here we have a surprise announcement to a group of shepherds. And this angel appears to the shepherds at night. This is a messenger of God. And the glory of God shown around him, and glory often refers to God's manifest presence. So imagine the scene. Here you are, if you're a shepherd, you're just doing your thing. It's the middle of the night, it's a dark sky, and you're guarding the sheep. Maybe it's your turn to sleep. Other guys are guarding and watching for animals and that would try to steal the sheep. And all of a sudden, this messenger of God appears in the night sky. And the glory, the manifest presence of God shown around him. You want to be like, huh? What's that? Is something going on up there? No, you'd be freaked out. And they were freaked out. They were terrified. They were scared. And I love how honest the scriptures are. And the angel says to them, listen, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Calm down now. I bring you good news. This word good news, it's gospel. This is gospel. This is good news of great joy that will be for who? For all the people. Today, in other words, right now, listen, in the town of David, not far from here, a Savior has been born to you. So yeah, this is a message for all people, but listen, shepherds, this is a message for you today, right now. He is, this one born, he is Christ. He's the Messiah. He's that long-awaited for king that you've been waiting for, that you've been wondering, how is this king going to come on the scene? The one, you know, we're hoping will deliver us from the oppression and the rule, that strong arm of Rome, this king When will he come? How will he come? He is Christ, the Lord. We need to pause here for a second and really consider what the angel's saying. The good news that the angel's announcing has its roots in the prophet Isaiah's announcement of an end-time salvation. So let's check it out. In Isaiah 52, let's go there and read Isaiah 52, verse 7. Isaiah says, "Hear me, you who know what is right, you people who have put my law in your hearts." Nope, that's 51. Let's go to 52, 7. That's where I want to be. "How beautiful, there it is. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who bring gospel, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns." You see, the fact that God reigns, we heard about this last night, that he rules is a good thing. It's good news. It's gospel. He rules. So there we have it. There in Isaiah 52, just 700 years before Christ was born. Well, let's keep going. Let's look at Isaiah 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord of Yahweh is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, gospel to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners." And he goes on. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, his public ministry, he was handed the scroll of Isaiah, and he opened to this portion of Scripture, and he read it. He was launching into ministry. He had fulfilled this passage as he began his ministry. This good news has its roots in the prophets. And there are three titles that the angel gives that evening to the shepherds. He gives to Jesus, and these are very important. One is Savior. He calls Jesus Savior. In other words, listen, God is going to redeem his people through Jesus. He also calls Jesus Christ, which is the Greek word for Messiah, or the Lord's anointed. This is the long-awaited for king. The Jews expected one day that God would send a very special deliverer, that God would send a king. He wouldn't simply be anointed, but he would be the anointed one. That God himself would do something about their condition. And here he is on the scene, but as a baby, the Christ. And he's also called the Lord, which is equal to saying, this is God himself. The mystery is getting, even more mysterious. So shepherds were told who this child is, and this is a turning point in all of history. You can look back at Luke chapter 2. It says in verse 12, "This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." In other words, the angel is saying this: listen, shepherds, you can go see him right now. The sign, and I'm not joking around about this, the sign that you found the right baby, he'll be wrapped in cloths and lying in a feeding trough. Yeah, you heard me right. That's what I said. I know it's strange, but you're going to find him in a manger. You won't find him in a governor's mansion or a wealthy merchant's guest room, but you're going to find him in a simple home a lot like your own. So go. Go and see this one who was born, this king that you've been waiting for. Now suddenly, after this proclamation of this one angel, the dark night sky just cracks open and this bright army of angels praises God. Glory or honor, praise to God, peace. Remember the proclamation of peace that Isaiah was talking about, healing of that brokenness, this peace to men on whom God's favor rests. Wow, it's happening. God's promises are being met through this one who is born and placed in a feeding trough. Verse 14, they're proclaiming this glory and this peace. You see, they had heard, the shepherds had heard about this promised child king, and now he was here. What did the shepherds do next? Girls and boys, what did the shepherds go and do next after they heard this awesome announcement? You think they went off and played Mario Kart? Like, this is amazing. The one we've been waiting for forever is here. What do you want to finish that game of kickball? No. They went off to see this wonder, this mystery, this child who's been born. They hurried, they ran off. And when they found Jesus, it was just how the angel said. The shepherds then testified of what had happened to them. And everyone who heard it was amazed. We could say the shepherds were the first to announce, to proclaim this gospel to others besides the angels themselves. And Mary just treasured these things in her heart. She pondered them. And then we see after this account, this awesome account of humble shepherds, of despised shepherds being the first to come to our humble king, the one born and laid in a feeding trough, we see that Mary and Joseph, this young couple, obeys the law in verse 21 through 24, and they do a number of things with Jesus. Let's read about it. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So what do we have here? This is customary purification in keeping with the law of Moses. Jesus is named also at this time, and his name, it's Greek for Iesus, or equivalent with Yeshua, Joshua in the Hebrew, which means Yahweh saves. The Lord saves. So his name is an announcement of what he would do, of what he had come to do, to save. It's awesome. The second thing I want us to see, besides the fact of this announcement to a bunch of nobodies, this awesome announcement, is this: an anticipated or expected gift to a man named Simeon. Now, how many of y'all already opened up gifts? Raise your hand. We opened up gifts before 7 o'clock this morning. No, it was like 7:45, I should say. And we had the cinnamon rolls and we had the orange juice. It was like Stephen was like a little creeper this morning looking into our house. Weird. But we opened up our gifts, and I don't know if any of y'all expected to get certain gifts. Nah, you wouldn't, right? Of course, right? You had certain gifts that were on the list, highlighted and circled and stars around them. You're like, get this. This is the one. And that's helpful for us who are buying gifts. But there was an expectation that was in the heart of this man named Simeon, who we're going to get to know right here, starting in verse 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to Gentiles, or non-Jews, and for glory to your people Israel." Now the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, specifically to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." What's going on here? We have a righteous and a devout man. He's associated with the temple. We don't know much more about Simeon than this, but he's waiting. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel, the comfort of Israel. What is that? He's waiting for the hope that God would come and rescue or comfort his people. This hope was anchored in the scriptures. It included a number of things. It included salvation. It included forgiveness of sins, deliverance from oppressors. He was waiting for the Messiah, like so many. I'm sure questions were rolling around in his head and heart as he was waiting those long years. God, when will you intervene? God, when will you do something about this brokenness? God, when will you bring peace and establish your rule? When will your kingdom come? The Holy Spirit's role in this whole event really stands out to me. This is a divine encounter. This isn't a mistake. It's not like Mary and Joseph and Simeon just kind of ran into each other like at the grocery store running into your buddy. This is a Holy Spirit encounter. They go to the temple complex to do their thing, and here comes Simeon. Verse 28, he took Jesus in his arms. That's what he did. That's what Simeon did. Now, new parents, and we have a lot of them. You don't just give your newborn to anybody. You don't do that. You don't just let anyone take your child into their arms, right? Well, Mary and Joseph wouldn't have done that either. And Luke gives us this amazing resume on Simeon. It's a background check. We know that he's righteous. We know that he's devout. We know he's associated with the temple. We know he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's a righteous man. And so he takes Jesus in his arms. And in many ways, Simeon represents faithful Israel, the people of Israel who were faithfully waiting and anticipating their coming king, their coming Messiah. And so imagine with me how sweet this moment was for Simeon to hold the promised child in his arms, this long anticipated king who would come and deliver. Imagine, he had been told before he died that he would see the Christ, and now he's holding the Christ. I want you to imagine just how awesome of a moment this was for him. He's holding the Christ. Now, how sweet is it for a father? Just for you fathers out there, after 9 months of waiting to meet this child, the day the child is born, you're holding the baby in your arms. It's like nothing else. What? Time stands still. Nothing else matters. And a kind of perspective is given in that moment that you didn't have before. It's happening to Simeon as well. But it's magnified. And in this moment, he praises God. Of course he does. He praises God. He says this prayer, this hymn that is so sweet, but not the cute, syrupy sweet, but precious and powerful sweet. Because promises were made by God, and they are being kept by God. And confirmation is also being given once again to Mary and Joseph as they're standing there, maybe wide-eyed and drop-jawed, like, huh, wow, they're marveling at what Simeon is doing and holding the child and praising God and prophesying over them and praying over them. They're still coming to grips as a young couple with what's really happening. And we learn from Simeon's prayer, his song, the scope of God's deliverance is bigger. It's greater than anyone really thought. It's bigger than Israel. You see what he says? Verse 29, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to who? To Gentiles. It was always part of God's plan to include a people far bigger than national Israel. Aren't you thankful for that? I know I am. Here we are, the Gentiles of the world, gathered together thousands of years later, having heard the proclamation of Christ, having received this message of peace and hope and deliverance and love and salvation, and we believed in the Christ. This message, a light for us and for glory to your people Israel, whom Jesus came through. Wow. The scope of God's deliverance is big. So in this moment, Simeon knows a contentment that puts all the events of life, all the other events of life, into their proper perspective. It's true. Everything else is put in its proper perspective in this moment. God is faithful. Because in this moment, as he holds the Christ child, he's thinking, God, you are faithful to your promises. God, I can face death with great peace. God, whatever comes my way, be it trial or tribulation, whatever comes my way, you've provided hope and salvation, light and glory. You're good. Today, we are the recipients of this good news of great joy. In verses 33 through 35, we see that this young couple, they marvel. Mary and Joseph are amazed. And Simeon's praise quickly turns into blessing and then into a prophetic word directed towards Mary. And he speaks of two responses to Jesus: falling and rising. Falling, speaking of judgment of the arrogant, and rising, salvation of the humble. I mean, these are the two responses to Christ. And then he goes on to say, Mary, you're going to experience sorrow and pain. Why? Because salvation would be accomplished, but it would come at a great cost to Mary. It would come at a great cost. She would lose her son. She would see her son crucified. Jesus came into the world to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came into the world to give his life as a ransom, as a payment for you and for me. Jesus came into the world as a light. Girls and boys, how many of y'all hung up lights on your Christmas tree or in your home or outside of your home? And I know in my boys' room, we plug the lights in that we've strung up all around so they can see it at night. It's fun, it's festive, but let these lights be a reminder to you today that Jesus came as the light of the world. He says this about himself in John 12, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. You don't have to stay in darkness. He says, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Light chases away darkness. Darkness can't exist where there's light. When you're scared at night, you flick on that light, and it's like, whoa, okay, I can see. I feel all right. I'm comfortable. Darkness cannot live where there's light. Jesus came into the world as a light. Listen, as we close this morning, I want you to know this. God's announcement to lowly shepherds that night through his messengers, the angels, God's surprise announcement to a bunch of nobodies is an announcement to the entire world. Truly. It speaks of God's character. It speaks of God's humility, if we can imagine. It speaks of God's really mission through Christ. It's an announcement to you and me. And this appearing, this gift to Simeon, this baby that Simeon was holding in his arms, is a gift to you and me today. How personal are you making this? This isn't only a bedtime story or something to be read around a fire around December 25th. Something to send in card form or something to put on a slide and post on Facebook. This is truly, truly one of the greatest of all mysteries. I can't think of one greater. That God would become man. That he would be born in a humble way and laid in a feeding trough for you and for me. It wasn't the end of it. He'd grow to live a perfect life for you and for me. He would grow then to die a substitutionary death for you and for me. He came that we might have life. And he rose for you and for me. The first fruits of resurrection. And we're going to follow. Do you believe this? Can you believe this? It's awesome. Merry Christmas indeed.